Okay, Chevra, what we are going to be doing over the next month or so is we're going to be studying the halachos of Bishul Akum, Pas Akum, etc. Broadly termed, it is Machalei Akum, food of non-Jews. A few things to be said about this. Point one is people who work in kashrus will tell you that the vast majority of questions that come up are not about basar b'chalav. Most of us rarely mix meat and milk together. It's certainly not about machalos asuros. Most of us don't have any pig at home that ends up falling in pots and stuff like that. The shailas that come up all the time, and rabbis have to know, and kashrus professionals have to know, are shailas of Bishul Akum. Right? For example, you have a babysitter. What can the babysitter do? What can't the babysitter do? These are serious questions. They're questions in industry. Let's be honest. The factories throughout the United States do not have Jews involved in the cooking process. So is all of our food treif? The answer obviously is no, but we have to figure out why not. So the dinim that we'll be studying are actually halachos which are quite relevant. I also find the halachos that we'll be studying quite interesting. Just as a way of introducing the topic, so first of all, the svarim that you should have, if you can have it, it's great. Gemara, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Shulchan Aruch, Yoredeya, Volume 2. We'll be studying Simanim Kuf Yud Beis, roughly through Kuf Chaf Aleph, give or take. We'll probably have to skip a little bit as the summer progresses. The Torah obviously is important. Torah and Shochanah go together. There is a sefer called the Chokas Binyamin. Chokas Binyamin is written by Rabbi Binyamin Cohen. He is a chavrusa. He was a chavrusa of a brother-in-law of mine. That brother-in-law of mine has a father who's part of the shir now, although we'll just leave it like that. So the Chokas Binyamin is basically a Mishneh Brura type of sefer on these halachos. It's really a wonderful sefer. If you can get your hands on it, it is great. There are many, many svarim on these topics, and I will try to the best of my ability to summarize things, to give out the sources in advance. In terms of major Rishonim, besides the Rishonim on the Gemara, the Torah's Habayis. You know, the Rashba wrote a book called Torah's Habayis, which goes through the many areas of halacha, in particular areas regarding trei food, etc. The Ra'ah has an ongoing disagreement with the Rashba. The Rashba gets the last word. That's the Bedek Habayis and the Mishmeres Habayis. It's extremely important. Very often, again, I don't know how much time you will have to spend on Seder, to spend on learning material on your own, but certainly I'll try to give you the sources as we go along, and to the extent that you find them interesting and worthwhile, I assume that you will look into them. So that is our discussion about the introduction to Bishul Akum. It's worth noting, by the way, that the tour begins our discussion. The Torah, right at the beginning of Kuf Yud Beis, says that there are many things that the rabbi said is usur, af al pi she'ein lahem ikar min ha-Torah. Even though these things do not have psukim in the Torah, still they are usur, bread of non-Jews, which is the first topic that we'll talk about, cooked food of non-Jews. There is a slightly less known topic called Shechar Akum, called the beverages of non-Jews. And all of these things, the Torah says, are forbidden because of Chasnos. All of these things are forbidden because of intermarriage. That is the way the Torah begins. And this idea that all of these prohibitions are because of intermarriage, again, and all the prohibitions mean those that we mentioned, we also will talk about milk of non-Jews and cheese of non-Jews, which are usher for slightly different reasons. The fact that all these things are usher because of chasnus actually has a real source in the Gemara. If you begin the sugya in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, you begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah writes that the following things are forbidden, but it's not usher b'hana'ah, meaning you're allowed to get benefit from it. Meaning, in most cases, you're allowed to sell it. You're allowed to sell it. You could earn money from it. And these things include the milk of non-Jews and the bread of non-Jews. And the Gemara comments right away, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, pas lo hutra bebezdin. Bread was never permitted. Right? So if I say that something was never permitted, that leads to the implication that some assume it should be mutter, some assume that there was a bezdin who permitted it, and the Gemara tells us that there's a certain thought that maybe Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi permitted pascha akum. One time Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is walking in the field, and he says, well, there's no Jewish baker around here, and the people say, well, what's going on? Right? You get an impression that maybe he was saying that the bread would be mutter because there's no baker. That's a whole discussion. But the basic idea of the Gemara is that there is a isser of pasakum. Bread of non-Jews is forbidden. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did not permit bread. Ma ra'u chachomim la'osra. Nonetheless, it's forbidden. Right? The isser is that there's an isser pasakum. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi never permitted it. Why did they forbid it? Says the Gemara, mishum chasnus. Because of intermarriage. That's what it says in the Gemara, Lamed Hei Amid Beis, the Isser is intermarriage. Now, everything would be simple if you would just have one Gemara, right? Judaism becomes complicated when we learn more. And the more we learn, the more complicated Judaism gets. So then I turn to Lamed Vav Amid Beis. I keep on learning. Right? Rav Shechter tells the story that one summer he was up in Tannersville, and he was learning Maseches Erevin with Rabbi Yehuda Parnas, the Chavrusas. Rav Shechter begins the Masech, and he's like, oh, everything makes sense. And everything makes sense until Daf Gimel, which contradicts Daf Beis. And everything makes sense until Daf Da, right? And like, that's the way learning goes. So, Lamed Hei Amid Beis has the prohibition of Pas Akum is because of Chasnus, is because of intermarriage. Lamed Vav Amid Beis tells us a little bit of history. The Gemara says that Amar Bali, Amar Avimi, Nuta'a, Mishmei Derav, Pitan, Shamnan, Yenan, Uvnai Sehen, Kulan, Mishmona, Asa Davarhein. These things, the bread of non-Jews, the oil of non-Jews, the wine of non-Jews, are all Asa Mishmona, Asa Davar. Basically, one day, the Gemara in Shabbos Yudzayin Yudches tells us that one day, the students of Beis Shammai locked the doors to the Beis Medrash. And they didn't allow any of the students of Hillel in. Doesn't sound like the nicest thing to do, but that's what happened. And on that day, they made 18 different gezeiros. There are 18 gezeiros that they instituted on that day. And some of those gezeiros include the bread of non-Jews, the wine of non-Jews, etc. And the Gemara has a whole discussion about what exactly is going on. So the Gemara answers, well, they really said that Pitan, Shmanan, and Yenan are Aser Mishum B'nai Sehen, and B'nai Sehen is Aser Mishum Davar Acher. Right? So the Gemara basically says that the bread of non-Jews, the wine of non-Jews, etc., is Aser, right? When you follow the whole trail, it's Aser Mishum B'nai Sehen. And it's Aser B'nosein is aser mishum davar acher. Davar acher means avodah zarah. That indicates that acharei kechlos hakol, when all is said and done, the prohibition is because of avodah zarah. Right? If I have a whole chain, A and B and C are aser because of D, and D is aser because of E, That means acharei kechlos hakol, that the iser is because of avodah zarah. So I have a contradiction. What is the basis of the iser of pas akum? Is it because of chasnus? Is it because of intermarriage? Or is it because of avodah zarah? Now, there is a way of resolve. There are a few ways of resolving this contradiction in Gemaras. One way of resolving the contradiction in Gemaras is by being Mavre Sedra. The end of this past week's parasha, Parashas Balak, Torah tells us, "Vayeshav Yisrael b'Shittim, vayachal ha'am l'znos el b'nos Moav." Right, that Klai Yisrael's in Shittim, and they begin to have znos with the daughters of Moav. Then they invite them to the avodah zarah. Vayocha'am vayishtachavu leloheihen. Right, Klai Yisrael worships Baal Pa'or, and bad things happen. So effectively, what the Torah is saying is that intermarriage and the Isra of Avodah Zarah are linked. So it could be that what the Gemara really means, yeah, you say Chasnus, you say Avodah Zarah, it's not such a contradiction. Alternatively, when you get into the bones of the sugya there in Lamed Vav on the Beis, and this is the type of thing that I think is a good thing not to quote, although it's probably true. The Gemara says that there's a machlokas about what exactly is the iser of intermarriage. The Torah says, Lo sischatein bum. You're not allowed to marry bum. You can't marry them. So the Tanakhama says that means bezayin umos. Avol shar oiv de koichavim lo. Okay? That means that you're not allowed to marry a chiti, amori, prizi, yevusi, girgashi. Right? So you have to check the yichus. And, right, if someone tells you, and they're suba, by the way, right, hachiti, so you should say, no, I can't be misadar kedushin for you. I'm sorry. We don't marry chitim. Okay? Grand. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that the iser of intermarriage applies Ki Yosir Spincha Me Acharai L'Rabos Kol HaMesiros. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that the Torah gives us a reason. Torah says Lo Yosir. Torah says Lo Sischatein Bum. Don't intermarry. Ki Yosir Spincha Me Acharai. Because if you intermarry, it will lead you astray. It will lead you astray. Now what that means is it will lead you astray. Is L'Chore anyone who will lead you astray is included in the Isser of intermarriage. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is saying that the prohibition of intermarriage applies to all the nations of the world. It's governed by the reason. The reason the Torah says don't intermarry is Ki Yosir Es Bincha Me'acharai. And L'Rabos Koha Me'siros. What that does is that includes anyone who could lead you astray. Now what's interesting is that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is the author of this statement. The Rambam Paskins, like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is the opinion who says that we are Darshinan Taima Dekra. Now there's a famous discussion in the Gemara in like a bazillion places. When the Torah gives us a reason for something, when the Torah says, don't do this because of this. So what does that mean? Does that mean, excuse me for a second? When the Torah says a reason, is the reasoning governing la halacha? That's called Darshinan Taima Dekra, no? The Torah says, Lo Sachvo Beged Almana, that when you lend money, so you shouldn't take as collateral the Beged of an Almana, because it's going to be Mesiya Shem Rabishchei Noseha. Everyone's going to see that. In the morning, you go and you return her pajamas to her. In the night, you return her dress to her, whatever it is, or actually the opposite way. So people are going to say, hey, what's going on over here? It looks really bad. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai says that we are Darshinan Taima Dekra. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is of the opinion that the reason behind the mitzvah is governing. So when the Torah says that a king should not have too many wives and not have too many horses, because that will lead the king to go down to Mitzrayim, etc. That will lead you astray. If all your wives are, the way Rav Shechta says it, let's say all your wives are Beis Yankiv girls, no one's going to lead you astray. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says it's mutter. But we don't follow Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. La halacha, generally speaking, we paskin lo darshin in time of dekra. What that probably means, and this is the interesting part, that probably means that, of course, there's a prohibition of intermarriage. But the iser of intermarriage, unless the woman who you're marrying is a chiti amori prizi, the iser of intermarriage is an iser drabonon. If the iser of intermarriage is an iser drabonon, so it's much harder to say that we make an iser of pas akum so that you shouldn't violate an iser drabonon of intermarriage. It's much easier to assume that the iser is mishum chasnus if you hold that intermarriage is an iser d'iraisa. If intermarriage is an iser d'rabbanon, so it's much harder to say that there's an iser because of chasnus, because of intermarriage.
I heard it.
Now, what that probably means when all the dust settles is as follows. If you hold that intermarriage is an iser d'oraisa, so we could say that the reason for pas akum is because of intermarriage. But if you hold that intermarriage is asur midrabbanan, so then the only reason why pas akum is asur is because it's going to lead to avodah zarah. That's the only reason why it's asur. So the stira between the Gemara on Lamed Hay and the Gemara on Lamed Vav is basically a question as to whether or not I paskin like Rib Shimon. In Eben Ha'ezer Simen Tes Zayin, they quote that the Rambam says that intermarriage is an Isur D'oraisa, and the Tor jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and he says, Rambam, I love you. You're awesome. But what do you mean intermarriage is an Isur D'oraisa? That's only Reb Shimon. We don't pass it like Reb Shimon. Right? So the Tor is assuming that intermarriage is Asur Midrabbanan. If intermarriage is Asur Midrabbanan, so the only reason why this stuff is going to be Asur is out the Isur of Avodah Zarah. It's not based on the prohibition of intermarriage, because intermarriage is only going to be Asur Midrabbanan. Good? That's the first Nakuda. Two Gemaras, what's the nature of the Isser of Pas Akum? Intermarriage or Avodah Zarah? L'may nafgamina? Yes, sir, but I can't see who's talking to me. Yoni, hi, how are you? Right, so apparently, just like we paskin like the Rambam in Simen Tes Zayin, that intermarriage applies to all nations, me'eza siba shehi, we paskin against the Tor, we paskin like the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch is just so same, that intermarriage is usher with all nations, it's usher min ha-Tayra. So, the Elisha Torah says, mishum chasnus, yeah. It's difficult. I don't know. Yeah, so it could be that even though intermarriage is also midrabbanan, I think what Yoni is suggesting has a lot of logic to it. Even though intermarriage is asur midrabbanan, it's quite a severe isur drabbanan, and based on that, Chazal can make a gezeira atu that isur drabbanan because it's ikar hadas. The isur of chasnus is really severe. Again, like for us, you know, intermarriage, it's very funny. You know, many shuls will give an aliyah to a mechal al Shabbos, and they won't give an aliyah to someone who's intermarried. Right, we view, even though the Chomer Ha'isser of Chilul Shabbos is much more severe than intermarriage, but intermarriage represents something that's much worse. And it could be that the Isser of Pas Akum is Atu Chasnos, is based on intermarriage, even though the Chomer HaIsser of intermarriage might not be as severe as the Chomer Isser of other things. It might only be an Isser Drabon. Yoni, I think you're suggesting something along those lines, correct? Okay. But nonetheless, Gemara and Lamed Vav sounds like Pas Akum is also because of Avodah Zarah. Now, this is not just a Gemara that is like tucked away and relegated to obscurity. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Yud Beis Seif Aleph, Osru Chachomim Lecho Pas Shal Amimim Oivde Avodah Zarah. Shulchan Aruch says that the Isser is to eat bread of non-Jews who are Ovde Avodah Zarah. In the what's it called? Shulchan Aruch. And the Friedman Shulchan Aruch. So there's a little note that these words, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, first appeared in the Venice printing of Shinchaf Zayin, and it did not appear in the earlier printings. Okay. Shinchaf Zayin is what? 327, 327 plus 1240 is 15... 1577, no? Correct? So by the time the Shach, who lived 1621 until 1662, by the time the Shach had the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, in the Shach's Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach comments, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, he writes, Ayin Lekamon, right, the Shach Osbeis, Ayin Lekamon Reisim in Kufchaf Gimel, in the Ramah, and Simen Kufchaf Dalid in Sivkatin Yud Beis. If you follow the directions and you look at what the Shach sends you to, so Kufchaf Gimel in the Ramon Sif Beis is the halacha of Stam Yenom, and in Kufchaf Gimel Sif Beis, the Ramon writes that, you know what? That the Isser Stam Yenom doesn't apply to the Yishma'elim, because the Yishma'elim are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Shach in Kuf Chaf Dalid Sifkat in Yud Beis, the Shach basically says the same thing, that these dinim don't apply to the Yishma'elim. So the Pashtus in the Shach, and the Rebbe Reb Yonasan Eibshitz took it this way. The Rebbe Reb Yonasan Eibshitz has notes on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch called the Mata Yehonasan. And the Rebbe Reb Yonasan Eibshitz interprets the Shach, that the Shach is saying that the Isser of Pas Akum is because of Avodah Zarah, and consequently, when I have Yishma'elim or the like, who are monotheistic, and therefore, we know they are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so the Isser does not apply. Now, this is a Shach, right? The Shach is a heavy hitter in the world of Halacha. The Pashtus in the Shach is that he is adopting the approach that the Isser is only out Avodah Zarah. Now, the Friedman Shulchan Aruch would say, yeah, the Shach is saying this based on the girsa that was added in the Venice printing because of the censor. So the Shach is interpreting a mistake. And the Isser really applies even if the nations are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because in the earlier printings, it doesn't say Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And if the Isser is Chasnos, it's not about Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But Me'eza Sibashahi, right? The Shach Lahalocha assumes that the Isser of Pas Akum only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I, Shulchan Aruch, writes it's because of Chasnus. So the Shach is assuming Lahalocha that the Isser of Chasnus is only on Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's probably what emerges. And that, gentlemen, I think is a tremendous idea. Right? That the Shach is really saying that the Isser only applies to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Now, the Rebbe Reb Yonasan Eibshitz tries to be very creative, and he tries to interpret the Gemara on Lamed Vav Amid Beis that the Gemara is saying that the Isser of Pas Akum is because of Chasnus, and it's unrelated to Avodah Zarah, even though the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Isser is because of Avodah Zarah. The Rebbe Rabbi Yonason, right, again, if you read it, he has like two Perushim. One of his Perushim is quite creative, and he wants to interpret the Gemara that it's not really based on Avodah Zarah, it's based on Chasnus, even to non-Ovdei Avodah Zarah. However, I think, if I read the Shach correctly, that the Isser is only by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Kach Katuv B'Shach. That's really what emerges. Now, no one says this lahalacha. Nobody. All the poskim lahalacha, even the Prima Godim, who's a super commentary on the Shach, even the Prima Godim basically says that the Isser applies even to nations who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But this is just, I would say, something that's interesting. Now, lahalacha, that means that all the poskim are assuming that the Isser of Pas Akum is because of intermarriage, Chasnus, and they are taking a broader definition of intermarriage, that it applies to all the nations, either min ha-Taira or midrabanan, like we spoke about beforehand. Either min ha-Taira, and therefore making gezeira based on it, that's what the Rambam says, Yipasik Reb Shimon, or midrabanan, and because of the chomer ha-Isser of intermarriage, that's why they forbid the Pas Akum. Look in the Pisrei Tshuva here, Se'if Katan Aleph. Pisrei Tshuva writes, Ayin Ba'er Hetev, okay, fine. The Ba'er Hetev always just gives the Mekoiris, the basic dinim, he quotes the Shach, etc. And then he writes, Ayin B'Sefer Tiferes L'Moshe, Shekosav D'Pascho Mumer Shari, D'Mishum Chasnus Lekah. The Afal Gav, Afal Pisha Chota, Yisrael Hu Sanhedrin Mem Dalid, and you're allowed to marry the daughter of a Mumer. Right, so you have a Jew who's a Mumer. The Jew adopted a different faith. Like, people remember the Brother Daniel episode. Right? A Jew adopts a different faith. So, is there a din of Pas Akum on bread baked by that Jew? The Pisrei Tshuva quotes on the Sefer Tiferes L'Moshe that there's no Isser of Chasnus on a Mumer, and therefore the Din of Pas Akum does not apply. However, if you look in the Chokas Binyamin, the Chokas Binyamin in Os, Chokas Binyamin over here in Os Dalet, in Sifkot and Dalet, he quotes the Tiferes L'Moshe, and he writes, Harbe Poskim Nechleku Alze, and they hold that Pas of a Mumer would equal the Pas of Goyim. And the reason is because once Chazal say that Mumer has the din of a Goy, so the din d'Rabbanan that Mumer is considered a Goy means for everything. For every single thing, Mumer has the din of a Goy. That's what the Chokas Binyamin in Sifkot and Daled quotes. There's actually an interesting comment of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer, you know, was the Rebbe of Sochachov. The Avnei Nezer was a great Zionist. And the Avnei Nezer wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. He writes in one of his tshuvas, the reason why he didn't make Aliyah is because he's not a farmer. And he feels that the only kiyum of the mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz is if you actually work the land. An unbelievable Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer in the tshuva in Yerideya Simen Sadi Beis, the Avnei Nezer argues that there is an isser of intermarriage with a mummer. That's like a wild and crazy idea, no? If you have somebody who adopts a different faith, You're not allowed to marry his daughter. The Abni Nezer writes that the reason why I say that there's an Isser to marry the daughter of a mummer is because Mistama, the daughter of a mummer, has bad ideas in terms of faith. Presumably the daughter of a mummer doesn't have what we would call the Richtige Hashkafis, that she doesn't think about Yiddishkeit appropriately. Therefore, the Abni Nezer writes, you know what, you just have to check out the daughter of a mummer much more than check anyone else out, and if you know for sure that she's a Beis Yaakov girl, then you're allowed to marry her. But Stama de Milsa, the Abni Nezer says, there's an Isser of intermarriage with a mummer. So let's go back. The Pesachei Tshuva says that since the prohibition of Pas Akum is because of intermarriage, so consequently, there's no prohibition of Pas Akum by a mummer. Others disagree, the Chokas Binyamin quotes. And it would seem that there are three reasons to disagree with this Pesachei Tshuva. Reason number one to disagree is what we suggested from the Shach. If the Isser of Pas Akum is because of Avodah Zarah, so of course, by a mummer, it's forbidden. But there are other reasons to disagree, which are less fundamental. It could be that once Chazal made a gezeirah that mummer is dino ka'akum, that gezeirah applies to everything. And it could be because of this razzle-dazzle Avnei Nezer, where that Avnei Nezer says, you know what? There's an issue of intermarriage even with a mummer. That's like a wild idea that's found in the Avnei Nezer. Okay, yes, Yoni, how are you, sir? Again, you're saying that a Yisrael Choshud so has a din of Akum in terms of Mishloach, right? But according to Rambam, but remember the Isser Mishloach is a different din. The Isser Mishloach is because of a Chshash of a Chlufi, right? The reason I can't send stuff, right, with non-Jews is because I'm worried that they'll exchange it, etc. So if I have a Jew who doesn't keep the laws of Kashrus, I still have the chashash of a chlufi. It could be that that din is somewhat unrelated to our conversation over here. It could be that halacha is more limited to a chlufi. The Gemara says that certain things need one chosam, other things need two chosamos. That's correct. There are different ways of interpreting the Gemara. Is it because that Ichlufi only needs one, like the Champig and the, right? What does the Gemara say? Again, you're holding in this more currently, because the Kola learned of the Zara this past year. But some of the concern is more based on how expensive the item is and whether it will be exchanged, etc. I'm just saying that it's entirely possible that the dinim in Kuf Yud Ches would be limited to Mishloach and would not be connected to the fundamental din of Pas and whether Pas applies to a mummer or not. But Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, the Pesachei Tshuva assumes that Pas does not apply to a mummer because there's no chasnus by a mummer, and many disagree with the Pesachei Tshuva. Let's take a step back. There's a prohibition of Pas Akum in Simen Kuf Yud Beis, and there's also a prohibition of Bishul Akum in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel. Right? There's a prohibition of bread made by a non-Jew, and a prohibition of food that's cooked by a non-Jew. Question: what's the difference between bread and other foods? Now, intuitively, we would say, well, it's pretty simple. Bread is something that's baked. Bread is something that is made from the chameshes minei dagon. It's made from the five grains, and it's baked. As opposed to bishul, would be any other food item. And that seems to be what the majority of Rishonim hold, or let me say it like this, that's the way Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin. The Beis Yosef paskins this way, because the Rambam says that pas is one category, bishul is a different category. Anything that is baked from the chameshes minei dogon is by definition pas, not bishul, according to the Rambam. There's a question why the Beis Yosef paskins this way, why the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. There are two versions of what the Rashba said. The Darkei Moshe is not sure. Maybe we should not paskin that there is a fundamental difference between bread and other food items. Maybe we should paskin like the other Rishonim. But he says, you know what, we'll follow the Rambam. The whole Issus D'Rabbanan, we'll follow the Rambam anyway. That's what the first Darkei Moshe writes. The problem is, well, I don't know the problem, but there's a dissenting view in Rishonim. And that's the view of the Ran. This Ran is quoted in the Beis Yosef. And the Ran is also cited here in the Shach. The Shach writes, or the Shach quotes from the Ran, that if I have bread that was Lasho v'aracho al yedei goy, but ne'efe al yedei Yisrael, the goy makes the form of the bread, and then a Jew bakes it. A Jew puts it in the oven. So you would say that that's part of the Isser of Pasakum. And you would say because the Jew is involved in some process, so it's mutter, it's heter gomer. The Jew put it in the oven. What's the problem? But the Ran writes that pas only is when everything is done by the goy. But if the goy is losho v'arocho, and then the Jew puts it in the oven, that's called bishalakum. Even though it's bread, the Ran assumes it's considered bishul akum, not pas akum. That's a fascinating idea. The difference between bishul and pas, according to the Ran, might relate to who owns it. If the ingredients are owned by a goy, so then that is potentially the iser of bishul akum. If the ingredients are owned by a Jew, it's excluded from that category, at least in the context of pas. The Ran might agree that there's a difference between bread and other items, but that would apply when the ingredients belong to a Jew. If the ingredients belong to a goy, and a goy is involved in the process, and then a Jew puts it in the oven, says the Ran, and the Shach quotes it. He doesn't agree, but the Shach quotes it. That is called Bishul Akum, that is not called Pas Akum. That means that there is no fundamental difference between bread and other items. There are complicated halachos of Lisha and Aricha, etc. It's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches says, Shalosh Malachos Bepas, that there are three actions that are done. There's Lisha and Aricha and Afia. But the Gemara is on Daf Lamed Ches, which is already the sugyas of Bishul Akum, not the sugyas of Pas Akum. So the Ran says, you know what? That bread can also be subject to the dinim of Bishul Akum. That's a wild idea. Now, Rabbi Simon wrote an article in Beis Yitzchok, volume 32, where Rabbi Simon, apparently one summer in Hillcrest, he said Shi'urima and Pas Akum and Bishul Akum. So Rabbi Simon points out that there seems to be a fundamental machlokas over here as to whether Pas and Bishul are subject to the same rules. No? The Rambam would tell me that whatever we call bread is a different category than what we call cooked food, by definition. The Ran, however, disagrees. And the Ran says just because you call something bread doesn't mean it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum could still apply. That means, l'cha'ora, that there is potential overlap. It's not a firm distinction, bread versus non-bread. There's potential overlap between the categories. Now, what I'm about to say is not compelling. It's not absolutely true.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it's a good way to organize the sugya. You know, the Kutzker pointed out that after you say Kriya Shema in the morning, you say MS, V'yatze, V'nochen, then you get to V'yafeh. Sometimes Yafeh is very far from MS. When I say Shir, often I like to say stuff that's Yafeh because it's easier to remember. Right? MS can be very nuanced and complicated. Yafeh could be broad strokes, a way of understanding stuff bigadol. It might not be airtight. It might not be compelling, but that's Yafeh. You know, we have kulas, where, let's go slowly. What we have basically is a machlokas, whether bread and other foods are fundamentally the same or fundamentally different. If you look in Taisus and Beitza, on Daf Yud Zayin, Taisus quotes that according to Rabbeinu Tam, when you make an Erev Tavshilin, you have to have a bread item and a cooked item. Yeah, right? The minig, I think, is that people use a hard-boiled egg. No? You need matzah and a hard-boiled egg. Right? That's what you make an Erev Tavshilin with. Because Rabbeinu Tam says that if you read the Gemara, there's an opinion of Reb Lezer. The Reb Lezer says that Ein Oifen Ela Al Ha'ofo Yem Revashim Ela Al Mavushal. Rabbeinu Tam paskins that way. Rabbeinu Tam says that cooked food and baked food, bread and what we call cooked food, are two separate categories. And Rabbeinu Tam in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis says that historically, the Isser of Bishul Akum and the Isser of Pas Akum happened at two different times. First, they assered Bishul Akum, Zakt Rabbeinu Tam. Right? First, they said that cooked food is Usser because of Chasnus. And they didn't make a gezerah of pas, because pas chasnus is not so shayach to. Then later on in Jewish history, the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, right, the Yud Ches Dover, then they said pas is aser. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that afiya and bishul are two separate things. The Ri disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ri says, you know what? If you make erev tavshilin, all you need is the egg. You don't need the matzah. But mikol makom lom la'ani libi lachlok al divrei dodi. That's the last line in the Taisus there in Beitza. Even though lahalocha he felt that afiya and bishul are two separate, that afiya and bishul is one and the same, nonetheless he would only make erev tavshin with two things, like the Rabbeinu Tam said. Now one could argue, again, not airtight, not compelling. One could potentially argue that the machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, relates to whether afiya and bishul are fundamentally the same or fundamentally different. Right? Could I have one big simen, kuf yud beis, kuf yud gimel? Or do I say no? The halachos of bread are different than the halachos of cooked foods. Now, you're going to say that I'm kvetching, but I'm not sure. I'll tell you why. I have big kulas by Bishul Akum, and I have kulas by Pas Akum. By Pas Akum, there's a kula that Bezos Hashem will discuss tomorrow called Pas Palter. Right? Bakery bread, bread that's not baked by an individual, bread that's not baked by a homeowner. It's baked as a business. Pas Palter, many are makelon. Pas balabatim, fewer amekalon. There's no kula of palter by Bishul Akum. It doesn't exist. We have kulas by bishalakum, food that is not oila o shulchan melachim. Let's say you have food that you won't serve at a fancy meal. Again, the Star K, for some reason, says that there is, in the Star K guidelines for Bishul Akum, they write that there's only Bishul Akum on food that would be served at a White House state dinner. First of all, as a matter of halacha, I'm not sure it's correct, but the current occupant of the White House had a big meal right after he took over, where he served fast food. Remember this? He had like hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff like that. So does that, according to the Star K guidelines, that might actually change stuff. But however I define the term, Bishul Akum only applies to food that is Ola al Shulchan Melachim, only food that is served at a fancy meal. Does the same apply to Pas Akum? Let's say I have Pas Kibar. Pas Kibar is bread that's mixed with a lot of junk. Right? Some used to say like pumpernickel bread. Is that equivalent? Pas Kibar. You won't serve it at a fancy meal. Do I assume that there's a kula by pas because it's not ola al shulchan melachem? That's exactly this question. Do I assume that there is overlap between these categories of pas and bishul? The Primogodim in the Mishpatzel Zohav Os Gimel, the Primogodim quotes that there is a kula by Bishul Akum that does not apply to Pas Akum, called Oilau Shulcha Malachim. By Pas, says the Prima Godim, even if it's Pas Kibber, even if it's lousy bread, Afilu Pasha Ein Oilau Shulcha Malachim, Kigon, and Subin, and Mursan, right, it still is going to be including the Gezerah of Pas. The Rebbe Rebbe Yonasan Eibshitz, in the Mate Yehonasan, says, I don't think so. Right? At least, again, the Rebbe Yonasan writes stuff based on the Gemaras, and he tries to interpret the Gemaras one way. And he says, I think that the Kula of Eino Eila Shulcha Melachim applies to Pas as well. In the Avnei Nezer, in that same Simon Sadi Beis, the Avnei Nezer was a very careful reader. Look in the Shach Oshei. Right, so there's a whole discussion about pas of orez and dochen, let's say rice bread. So the Mechaber assumes that pas orez and dochen is heter gomor, it's not pasukum by definition, it's not bishalakum also. The Ramah writes that pas orez and dochen is not pas, right? Bread has to be chameshes mine dogon, it has to be one of the normal grains, even though we make a mizonos and orez, but it's not a grain. We don't pass on to Tan Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can make matzah out of rice. The Ramah writes that pas orez and dochen is not pas. It might be aser mishum bishul akum if it would be olal shulchan melachem. There seems to be a detailed machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah on that point. If you have pas orez and it might potentially be olal shulchan melachem, is it aser? So in the context of this discussion, in the Shach, in Oshei, he quotes from Rabbeinu Yeruchim. V'chein kosa Rabbeinu Yeruchim nesiv yud zayin chelek zayin, de pas kitnis ein boi mishum bishulei goyim, v'lo mishum pas goyim, de eino ole al shulchan melachim. Shteit in Shach, the reason why there is no iser of pas on Pas Kitnis, even if you'd assume that Pas Kitnis is halachically bread, but it's not usser because it's Eino Oil al Shulchan Melachim. It's clear from the Shach, says the Avnei Nezer and Simon Sadi Beis, that the Kula of Eino Oil al Shulchan Melachim applies to bread as well. That would seem like the opinion of the Ri, not the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam. That would seem like bread and Bishul are one and the same, and that again, so I have a Prima Godem, which is accepted by Halacha by almost everybody. If you look in the Chokas Binyamin Os Yud Beis, he quotes, yeah, the Rebbe Yonasan Eibshitz says that Eino Ola Shulchan Malachim is a kula by pas. It's not accepted. The Avne Nezer has this read in the Shach, but says the Chelkas Binyamin, you could read the Shach differently. Doesn't exactly explain how. Again, this is in the Be'urim in the Chelkas Binyamin, page 5, going over to page 6. La Halacha, we assume that there is no kula of Eino Ola al Shulchan Malachim by pas. But there are authorities who say that there is such a kula. And that would be because bread and bishul are fundamentally the same iser. Now, just going back to the way we began today, this issue, bigadol, depends on my machlokas between the Shach and the rest of Judaism, and my stira in the Gemaras, no? If you hold that there are two separate isurim, if you hold, like the Shach seems to imply, even though the Shach might be based on a bad geirus on the Shulchan Aruch, blah, 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 but like the Shach says that the Isser is because of Avodah Zarah, like the Gemara Lamed Vav Amud Beis says. So that means that Pas is Aser Atz Avodah Zarah. Bishul, not Aser Atz Avodah Zarah. Right, the Gemara on Lamed Vav says, Pitun Yenon Shmanon. It doesn't say Shlakos. The Isser of Pas is Atz Avodah Zarah. The Isser of Shlakos is Atz Chasnos. If you hold like that Shach, so it's clear that there are two separate categories. But if I hold that both Pas Akum and Bishul Akum are Mishum Chasnos, so then I already have to use my thumb. Then already I have to start saying, whoa, 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 what's going on over here? Pas and Bishul, same Isser, different Isurim. Yeah, it's both based on Chasnus. But it could be that even though they're both based on Chasnus, maybe they're governed by different rules. Just to conclude this Shtickle Torah a teeny bit. Yes, sir. So you have to, right, so again, that's why I quoted that Rabbeinu Tam. It's entirely possible that there's much less Kiruv Das by Pas than there is by Bishul, right? Bread is a relatively easy thing to make, right? It could be by Bishul, there's much more Kiruv Das. That's why the Rabbeinu Tam says historically there were two different stages of the Isser. There's less Kiruv Das by Pas. I'm just reading a Rabbeinu Tam with you, no? As I state. Let me just add one point, very briefly. Maybe we'll get, I mean, we certainly will get back to it as we go on. In Rabbi Menachem Ganek's Sefer, Gan Shoshanim, in volume 2, page 199. So Rabbi Menachem Ganek says that Pas and Bishul are both because of Chasnus, but sometimes there's a difference between the Siba of the Gezerah and the Geder Hadin. Both Pas and Bishul are usur because it might lead to intermarriage. However, the Geder Hadin is very different. By Bishul Akum, it becomes a Cheftza of Isser. There's a whole discussion that we'll have in Shulchan Aruch, in the end of Kuf Yud Gimel. If I cook, if a guy cooks food, does the pot become treif? Are there blios of Bishul Akum? Machlokas Rashba Ra'a. It appears at the end of Kuf Yud Gimel. By Pas Akum, no one says that there's a din of Blias, says Rabbi Ganek. It doesn't exist in Shulchan Aruch. Why would that be? So that would be, Rabbi Ganek explains, because fundamentally, Pas Akum is an Isser Gavra. Bishul Akum is an Isser Cheftza. If it's an Isser Cheftza, that means that the food is mamish like poison. So that food can inject itself into the pot and trafe up the pot, and it will come out and trafe up all the other food that I cook afterwards. Isser Cheftza. Pasakum is an Isser Gavra. Rabbi Ganak understands that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah writes that someone who's machmir on Pasakum can eat at the same table with someone who is not machmir on Pasakum. That means there's no Blias Kalim, because presumably Rabbi Ganak says they're eating hot food, etc. Again, we'll discuss whether this raya is a compelling raya later on. Rabbi Ganak holds fundamentally Pas is an Isser Gavra, whereas Bishul is fundamentally going to be an Isser Chefza. For this reason, we're more makel on Pas than we are on Bishul in terms of the din of Hashlachas Kissim. There's a halacha that we rely on, or Ashkenazim. I'm assuming everyone here is Ashkenazi just by looking at you, I'm not sure. If you're not, please give me a thumbs down. For Ashkenazim, we're make on Hashlachas Kissim. That means that we assume that there is no prohibition of Bishul Akum if a Jew does any tiny amount in the cooking process. You just throw a stick in, that solves the issue of Bishul Akum. However, many Rishonim, it could be even the Pashtus in the Gemara, is that Hashlachas Kissim does not help for Bishul Akum. But Hashlachas Kissim, everyone holds, helps by Pas Akum. What's the difference? Well, Pas Akum, says Rabbi Ganak, is an Isser Gavra. If it's an Isser Gavra, all I need is a tiny little reminder. Right? The Hashlachas Kissim, the Rambam says, is a Heker. It's a tiny reminder that, you know what, don't get carried away, don't intermarry, etc. Tiny reminder. By Pas, it for sure helps. But by Bishul Akum, which is an Isser Chefza, so it's not at all Pashut that Hashlachas Kissim helps. So basically, to Chazer what we're saying. So we have a Machlekes Hasugyas about the reason for the Isser of Pas Akum. One could say there's really no Machlokes, and Chasnus and Avodah Zarah are connected, like the Psukim say. The Shach has this line that the Isser Pas Akum does not apply to Goyim who are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That would mean that Pas and Bishul are fundamentally different. If they're fundamentally different, so then I'm in Prima Godim land for sure, that Kulos of Bishul don't apply to Pas. However, even if they are the same, and this is Payim Achlokasin Rabbi Natam and the Ri, but it's entirely possible that they are the same in terms of the Sibas HaIsser. That the reason why Chazal said their Aser is for the same reason, Chasnus. But the Geder HaIsser, the way I approach it, that is different. And Pas might be an Isser Gavra, whereas Shlokos or Bishul Akum might be an Isser Chefza. So again, these are some of the points I wanted to mention. Any questions, comments, observations, jokes? If you have a joke, it's worth much more than a question or a comment. Anything? Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, possibly, although it could be that's a little different, it's entirely possible that the nature of the Isser Bishon Shabbos is changing something from inedible to edible. And if you hold that the nature of the Isser Bishon is change, so it could be that change in flavor is also change. When something was cooked and then is baked after them, Achlokas Yireim and the Ravya, right? It could be because it adds a new flavor. That's why it's Usser. And by definition, Bishon on Shabbos is about change. Right? It could be, and this is a large conversation that we'll have to have over the next couple of weeks, what's the relationship between Bishul on Shabbos and Bishul Akum? No? On Shabbos, by the way, the melachos are ofe. It doesn't say Bishul. But that's because the Tana is Sidur de Pascha Naket. In Shabbos, there's no difference between Afiyah and Bishul. By other areas of halacha, right, like Bishul Akum, like we're discussing, there might be a difference. Macho ben Drusay is a category by Bishul Akum. Does Macho ben Drusay carry over to Hilchas Shabbos? That depends. Do I assume that the categories of bishul overlap or not? Right? There's bishul by many areas of halacha, and we could investigate whether they are the same dinim or different. What's called bishul by a carbon pesach? No? What's called bishul versus afiyah by matzah? There are many different areas in halacha. The machlokas yireim and rafiyah might relate to flavor, it might relate to overlap between different areas of bishul, etc. So that was... Any other questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay, Chevra. So Yasher Koach, thank you for coming to listen. And Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. I will go, basically, I'll say Seder HaShulchan Aruch. So tomorrow we'll do Se'if Beis. I hope to send out Makoros either later today or tomorrow morning on what to do. I hope the WhatsApp chat, for me it's much easier to send stuff out on WhatsApp. It just goes quicker. I hope that works for people. If it doesn't work, so please tell me offline and I could try to email the sources to people as well. Okay, Chevra, have a good day. Yes.